Adam Hogue says,
Adam Hogue, Bears beat writer for CHGO Sports.
What's up, everyone? My name's Adam Hogue. This is the CHGO Bears podcast.
We just need to kick Adam Hodge off the show and let him come back on Tuesday.
Host of the Hogue and Johns podcast.
Mark Trestman's face just popped up on my computer, by the way.
Adam Hogue.
Adam Hoagie or Hogue? Excuse me, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
With Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi on 670 The Score.
I forgot that Rush was actually part of this open after we were talking about somebody not looking at Rush in the open. That was Limelight, and this is Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer. I got it. I got there. Mess with me. Adam Hogue is on Twitter, at Adam Hogue. He is the host of all the podcasts. He's the host at CHGO Bears, the Hogue and Johns podcast, and now the 85 with rising media superstar Cole Kmet. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, and he's brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric for all the right reasons. Call 866-4-SEASONS and by your local Ford dealers. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. And that's all the time we have for Adam Hogan in his segment today. What's up, man? How are you? Happy football.
I'm good. Yeah, it's good to be talking with you guys again. Football season. And, you know, I'm not a big video game guy, but I used to love to play those two Rush songs on Guitar Hero. They're so fun.
And they're not that, as long as it's guitar and not like Drum Hero.
Yeah.
Because good luck if you're trying to match the drums on some of those songs. I would say that.
No, that intro just brings me back like memories of like being up at 2 a.m. at the University of Wisconsin, you know, playing that game way too late. But let's talk some football though. I'm excited about this game, Bears Texans, and this is tough. It's a tough one, but I think this is one that the Bears can actually win.
Oh, okay. See, let's start right there. That I like this out of the gate. You think the Bears can win? Give me the blueprint in your mind of how that happens, knowing what we know about these two teams, specifically with the injuries that the Bears are dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, and the injuries are the big thing. Like my optimism about them winning would probably be tweaked here, and we might find out in a couple hours if both wide receivers, Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze, are out. I think it's likely they get at least one of the two of them out there. Probably more likely Keenan at this point. But I did see Roma in the locker room yesterday, and he didn't have like a major limp. It didn't seem like he was walking around in pain. But obviously trying to cut and run routes, you know, on a turf field down there in Houston is a different story. So, and I would honestly want to be cautious with that one, with him being a rookie. But look, first of all, there are so many overreactions to week one. And I think that this is one of those lines out there, and there's a few of them as I look across the NFL landscape this week. But I think this is one of those lines that is just a complete overreaction. This is a line to me that should be more like Texans favored by 3.5, and it's already up to 6.5. And I just think that is an overreaction to how bad the Bears offense looked on Sunday, which it was bad. I mean, that's what you go off the tape and that's what it was. But I just don't see any scenario in which they aren't at least a little better, that they don't, are they going to score no touchdowns on offense again? I find that hard to believe. I think there's too many things that are easy to correct. Whether, you know, you probably can't fix the interior of the offensive line. That's one thing that's going to be tough. I get it. But this week, the test on the inside is a lot easier than it was last week against the Titans. This week, the problems are more on the outside with Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, but the Bears tackles played pretty well last week. So I feel better about that matchup this week than I did last week against what the Titans were offering inside. So that's just one example. And I think that when you look at the personnel problems, and I question the hell out of those things early on in this week, but that's something they should be able to fix. Like, you should be able, as a coaching staff, to be able to figure out who should be on the field more than other players. And I do think you're going to see that Sunday. So those are just a couple of examples why I just think 6.5 is too much. The Texans are a good football team, but are they realistic Super Bowl contenders this year? I don't view them in that light. I view them closer to where the Bears are, and that these are teams that have a chance to make the playoffs and be competitive every week. But 6.5 is just too much for me.
Well, I can't tell if you're thinking the Bears are better than I think they are, or if you think the Texans are worse than others think they are, or I do, or both. It sounds like a little of both.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. But don't get me wrong. I think the Texans are good. This isn't like going to Arrowhead and having to play the Chiefs this week. I mean, it's just they're not to that level yet. And I do think the Bears' offense will be better than what they showed last week. I also think the Bears' defense is good. Now, the question for me with the defense, and this probably will end up being what decides the game Sunday, is I think this is going to be a team that can continue to take the ball away, but CJ Stroud does not really turn it over. And trying to force him into the takeaways that the Bears are probably going to have to rely on, especially here early on in the season, as they try to work this offense into, you know, trying to figure out some identity and some type of rhythm. That's going to be tough this week. But if they can do it, I mean, if they win this turnover battle on Sunday night, that they should be able to win this football game.
I mean, listen, Adam, that's why I wanted you to lay out the blueprint, because my issue with them being able to win this game is what you just stated. Like, their biggest strength right now, when you look at the Bears, is you feel like they could take the ball away from other teams. That's like something they've done consistently since the back half of last season, right? But then you look at CJ Stroud, a guy who's played, 18, 19, 20 games, somewhere in that area, and he's turned the ball over in three games through the air. He had two games with one interception each, and then he threw three picks in a game against Arizona last season, and that's it. And for a rookie quarterback now going into the second year, that's insanely phenomenal. And look, maybe he's due. Maybe he is due, but he's at home under the bright lights. He knows the stakes. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who's going to crack under pressure, because like one of his strengths is he doesn't crack under pressure, literally.
Yeah, no, it's completely fair. It's one of the most impressive things about CJ Stroud is how little he's turned the ball over, especially through the air. Now, maybe reasons for optimism for the Bears pass rush this week. He did get hit 10 times last week, and he got sacked 4 times. So, and I don't know if this Daryl Taylor thing is for real. It certainly looked good this match last week. This matchup's going to be a lot harder going up against Laremy Tunsil. But if, you know, Ryan Poles pulled off another sneaky trade here that really pays off, that's going to be a huge storyline this season. And I that's one of the kind of maybe the smaller storylines this week that I can't wait to see. Does that translate? Was that just a flash in the pan week one? Or is this something that's going to translate and continue to be a thing here for the Bears? Because, he doesn't need, with Montez Sweat on the other side, he doesn't have to be an all-pro player. But if he can bring the heat at least a few times a game like he did last week, that's going to be huge for this Bears defense. And that's where I just think, like, if you can continue with some of the numbers I saw the Colts have against the Texans last week with the heat they brought on them, if the Bears can bring that pass rush and pressure CJ Stroud as much as the Colts did last week, I don't necessarily care how protective you are of the football. Eventually that results in takeaways. It just does.
We heard Shane Waldron take accountability, and as a texter here pointed out, not arrive at accountability, but lead with accountability when it came to some of the personnel groupings. Matt Eberflus said a lot of it is matchup-based, and the name that we were asking about is your podcast partner, Cole Kmet. Where do you think something like that is going to get fixed, and how much of a priority is it, and how much of a good problem to have? Is it when you have a lot of weapons, a lot of people who you want to use, that you want to feed, and they still need to sort it out?
Well, it is a good problem to have. I was not surprised that there was... I expect there to be sort of a feeling out process here on how to get all these guys on the field, the right personnel packages. But I was surprised at how alarming it was right away in week one. Like, to have Rome Odunze, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore on the field together as little as they were. Now, I do understand there was DJ Moore left for a little bit because of he got dinged up, and then Keenan Allen had to heal and he left for a little bit. So I get it to a certain standpoint. But I think the reason why this Cole Kmet thing has been such a big storyline this week is because that was just like the most obvious. Like, you're paying this dude $50 million. Like, he needs to be on the field. You need to throw him the football. I don't care if Gerald Everett's here now. And so, you know, I certainly saw, if you look at Gerald Everett, who Shane Waldron knows well, Travis Homer, who was in Seattle the same time.
There was a lot of Travis Homer.
I was shocked by that.
That game was too Travis Homer-y.
I think it was. So it was Travis Homer-y. And I think that, you have a first not a first-time OC, but an OC in his first game here with the Bears. And I understand it to a certain extent that you're going to default to some of the players that you know better. You trust them. Coaching players, that's all about trust all the time, especially when it comes to who's on the field. But you also got guys who have been here that need to play. And so that's where I go back to what I was talking about earlier. Like, to me, this is the easiest thing to fix this week, especially when you hear the OC not be stubborn about it in the press conference. Admit that they're that needs to be better. And from what I understand, this was something that was discussed this week, you know, and as a coaching staff. And so I just think there's certain things like that that'll be obvious corrections, whether that's homers on the field less, maybe Roschon Johnson's active over Valus Jones, Cole Kmet's snap count. If there's one thing I can, you know, bet all my money on, it's that's going to be over 50% this week. And if it's not, that's a huge problem. So stuff like that, I do think will be corrected.
Let's talk a little bit about the offensive line. And did you think it was interesting, as I did? And I sort of pulled this quote from yesterday, or 2 days ago, when Eberflus said, with the offensive line, the week one to week two improvement is usually the biggest improvement that you have. Is that him just parroting a football-y football thing that people say? Or is that true? Does he really believe it? And did that raise the expectations for the performance of the blockers Sunday night?
Yeah, I would say a little bit of all of that is there's probably, yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. I mean, week one and week two improvement is important. Regardless of the position, I think it's understandable for some guys to struggle in week one for various reasons. It's one of the reasons why that's to me the most unpredictable week of the season. So you want to see guys settle in week two. I would apply that when, especially if we're talking about O-line, to like Tevin Jenkins. Like Tevin Jenkins playing as poorly as he did at times on Sunday was one of the bigger surprises, and in my opinion, probably an outlier. I think he'll be better this week against the Texans, just because we've seen it. We know if he's healthy, he's going to play better. So that's maybe one spot where I'll buy that a little bit. I'm struggling though with the center right guard situation.
We all are.
Yeah,
no, I'll have to trust Flus on that one. Like Coleman Shelton is just going to play better in week two because it's week one and week that one's a little bit harder for me to buy, but someone's going to have to play better in those two positions. They got to get that figured out. And I just keep looking. I keep looking at, you traded an actual draft pick for Ryan Bates. We've been talking about Ryan Bates now. Ryan Poles has been talking about Ryan Bates now for 3 years. Like, this guy needs to be one of your starting five offensive linemen then.
But maybe he would have been 3 years ago.
I think he would have been last week had he not been hurt. I think he would have started over Nate Davis, and he outsnapped Nate Davis. But I don't know if you guys noticed on the injury report, he went from limited on Wednesday to not practicing yesterday.
Yeah, the wrong direction for sure.
So I don't know. I have less optimism about those two spots than pretty much everywhere else on the offense right now, including quarterback, because I would throw Caleb in there as one of these guys too that should sort of just naturally improve from week one to week two. Just because Matt Eberflus is saying that.
Well, the good news is that the interior challenge is not as bad as it was week one against the Titans. As you mentioned, the pressure's coming from the outside now. The bad news is I'm not sure what's going on with the running backs as a whole of the group. I know DeAndre Swift is the guy you paid to be your guy, but after we just mentioned the Travis Homery of it all, and now Roschon Johnson is healthy, how does this stack up? Where do these guys fit in? And does Valus Jones have a role, or is he inactive this weekend?
Yeah, this has got to get figured out. In my understanding, I know everyone was just like, oh, Roschon was hurt last week, so that's why he was inactive. My understanding was he was healthy enough to play by Sunday. So I think that was a decision that was made, and it's certainly fair to question. I think it probably was questioned. And so, you know, I think he'll be back up on Sunday just because of some of those personnel changes that I think need to be made. But you're not going to have six guys, six running backs active on game day. So who then is inactive?
Valus.
The obvious one is Valus. But Shane Waldron hasn't used fullbacks in the past, and Kari Blasingame had that one pressure he was allowed. I don't think he was put in a great position on that play, but that's a deep shot to Keenan Allen if he makes his block. Mm. So do we start to see a shift there? Does Shane Waldron get away from the fullback a little bit? I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there right now because I'm questioning this myself, how this is all going to work with this many running backs on this roster. It's funny, when you're in that Bears locker room right now, you see a whole wall of running back lockers. That's weird. There's not supposed to be that many of them, but they're there. And so I don't know the answer to you on how this all plays out. One thing I do know, Khalil Herbert is a pretty good running back. Can they use him more? They need to use him more. I don't need to see Velus getting the ball four times. I would rather see those four carries go to Khalil Herbert, who we know can play the position and is healthy right now.
Yeah, but isn't the limiting factor, as we know at this level, just like you talk about what the significance of Blasingame missing that block, that Herbert is a much less reliable pass protector and pass receiver, and maybe Waldron just looks at him differently?
Well, I think that's probably the case. Yeah, you know, that typically is how coaches view players. Can always be seen by how much they play, whether they're active, inactive, or they're just standing on the bench more than the other players. And I think that that's obviously a thing right now. But that's where I'm just interjecting my own opinion that, especially last season, Herbert was dealing with some injuries, but when he got healthy towards the end of the year, I think it was that Cardinals game I'm thinking of, maybe the Falcons game, one of those two games at Soldier Field late in the year when he got healthy again, he looked like he was cutting and had that explosiveness back again. And so I get it, but I'm not throwing Velus Jones in the pass protection Hall of Fame yet either. The guy's been playing running back for 3 weeks. So if they can get him the ball in certain situations, I feel like you should be able to get Khalil Herbert the ball in those situations.
Adam Hogue, outstanding stuff. We will let you get on with your day covering the Bears, and glad you are an ongoing part of our football coverage here on The Score. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Adam Hogue.